Hello, and thank you for listening to Renewables, a podcast by BioStar, which aims to explore the current and future energy landscape in America.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Renewables. We are super excited about this week's episode. We have David Hopkins, the Director of Business Development for Corporate Partnerships from Sustainable Brands, with us today. Thank you so much, David, for being here. Sustainable Brands is a company that I've been following for a long time, and it's a resource for me, frankly, to keep my finger on the pulse of all these amazing companies who are adapting their brands and really focusing on sustainability. It's a global community of brand innovators, as your website describes it. David, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, well, thank you, David. And thanks so much to our mutual friends at Barclay Agency and Jeff there for introducing us. And always appreciate that. And we're already big fans of what you're doing there at BioStar. So thank you, David, for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. And another shout out to Jeff and Barclay. Jeff has a lot to do with sort of the inspiration for originally starting this podcast, which has been such a fantastic experience for me. I've learned a lot. It's been really fun, and we've been able to cover some really exciting topics. So before we go into sustainable brands and brand innovation and touch a little bit here and there on some of the leaders in this space, David, if you would, tell our viewers a little bit about your background. Where'd you go to college? How'd you get into this industry? Kind of how'd you get to here?
Sure. Keep it brief. I grew up in San Francisco, and I drove through a neighborhood there called the Tenderloin District, and from K through eighth grade, and saw inequality, I saw poverty and homelessness, and challenges that a lack of nature, challenges just that I couldn't really wrap my brain around at such a young age. Fast forward to, I went to college in Vermont, Middlebury College, and I traveled. I've been lucky to travel and realize the disconnect between sometimes education and make a difference in the business careers that young people have available to them. And so formed a passion for how to use business as a force for good in the world, addressing social and environmental challenges, and that you could actually do both at the same time, and they were not mutually exclusive. At Middlebury College in Vermont, I helped launch the Social Entrepreneurship Center, wrote my thesis on it, and worked with my advisor, who became the executive director, John Isham, environmental economics professor there. And it was the first of its kind of a social entrepreneurship center at a liberal arts college in the country at the time. And from there, co-authored a book on social entrepreneurship called The Tactics of Hope. Then tried to become one, failed many social ventures, any entrepreneur does. And since then, I've worked in renewable energy and solar. I've worked for digital agencies and marketing agencies and companies. Started my own business consulting some B Corps, and eventually started bringing clients to sustainable brands and realizing what an amazing community sustainable brands is. Bringing my own clients to our events. And loved it so much that had a transition in my life and joined the company about a year and a half ago, helping build partnerships for sustainable brands, clients and companies, and some of the whole ecosystem that we work with. So
awesome. Well, we've only met a couple of times, but it definitely comes through in talking to you that you're a passionate guy, you're passionate about your job and what you're doing at Sustainable Brands. Real quick on the entrepreneurship note, our CEO, Bill Love, is in a group called HEMP, the Helzberg Entrepreneurial Mentorship Program, which is led by Barnett Helzberg here in Kansas City. And they're one of their many slogans is put your worst foot forward. And they talk about all the times they've failed as entrepreneurs and why using those failures is so important to create that ultimate success. So I love what you said there, and you know, you don't always nail it on the first time, but really focusing on, and we try to do that at BioStar, focus on what your failures, put your worst foot forward. Why did you fail, and learn from it and become better? So I like that. So let's talk a little bit about sustainable brands though, because the first time I met you, we were introduced through Jeff, and you know, looking at your website there's a lot to be excited about. There's a lot of cool topics that you guys cover, but tell me, what's sustainable brands all about, and why does it fit so well with sort of your passion on this social entrepreneurship and how to, you know, make business make the world a better place?
Yeah, I'll be happy to jump right into that. Going back to your comment a minute ago about failing forward and how entrepreneurs work, it's also true that when we have failures in times like these, where people are looking for solutions, they might be struggling in some ways or having anxiety or a lot of changes in our world going on, especially on this important day today that we're recording this. And so that we can address these issues through our entrepreneurial instincts, even within the companies we work for. We don't always have to start our own organizations. And the same true is for corporate innovation. And so sustainable brands is a place that drives corporate innovation, addressing systemic, social, and environmental challenges through innovation that also creates market value. And so for those who are new to sustainable brands, we're a preeminent global communication, learning, and collaboration platform, accelerating brand transformation for the regenerative next economy. So what that really means is, how do we create models like BioStar Renewables that can regenerate and create circular model, economic models? And we do that in a number of ways through our events. We host major events for corporate sustainability, marketing, finance. Coming up, we have an event which we could talk about next week called Integrate. We have events around the world. We have 14 international events that were supposed to happen this year. And SB Japan with 3,000 attendees, SB Paris. We had events in Latin America, supposed to be in South Africa this year, in Europe. So we have the live events, and that's how I first got to really experience sustainable brands. Actually, was in London, and it's a huge component to the presence that the brands that we work with have internationally often, as well as the regional pockets that want to develop sustainability where they are in that part of the world. And we work with partners who see those connections. What we do is we connect the dots often, whether it's digitally through our events, as well as for our membership group. So in addition to the events, we have members. We have about 80 corporate members, which have in total, they employ 5 million employees, reach 5 plus billion consumers, and 3 wow. trillion in annual sales wow. revenue. So it's a large, lot of large companies. We also help early stage companies through our webinars and online platforms is a way to get the message out there in our editorial and our website, which I've been subscribed to for 10 years now, long before I ever worked here. So
yeah, and so I want to get to the website, but you mentioned the global piece, and I think that's really cool that you're doing events around the world. You know, obviously in the COVID world, that's had to change, and I want to talk about how you've reacted to that and how you've been able to be successful despite having to cancel these events or take some of them virtual. But talk about the importance of being global and being international in order to really achieve your mission.
Sure. So we live in an interconnected world. We cannot look at what happens on the other side of the planet or the other side of our neighborhoods or counties even, and think that what happens there doesn't affect us, because it does. When we source the materials in the supply chains for the products in the for consumers or for B2B companies that rely increasingly on each other. And we see that with companies that have platforms like, let's say, HP Enterprise, one of the accounts I work with, which is helping with data centers and mass global communication systems and supports, as well as regionally supporting entrepreneurship and innovation around the world by connecting them into a community that helps them learn from each other. Where what we found that's so exciting is that people step forward and ask sustainable brands if they can host conferences in their countries.
Wow.
Is that mostly existing customers who have a presence in other countries, or is that, or existing members, or that's like net new?
These are
new
agencies. Yeah. Okay. These are agencies, a group called Pixelus in Paris, for example. We have our friends, for example, Yuki, who helps run the SB Japan. In each country, we have someone, in her case, Yuki in Paris, it's Guillaume, who stepped up and said, this is something I want to do. This is a community I want to help build. And we essentially license the ability to work with sustainable brands and bring the magic of what we've done for so long. Not what I've had any part in, I just recently joined the company, but what sustainable brands has built over time, and to bring that to their country.
That's and really then neat.
The brands come in as sponsors and support that.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, you know, when you talk about climate change and you talk about setting goals, I think what you said at kind of the top of this topic is so important. You know, we can be really good in the United States, but we need buy-in from the rest of the world and vice versa. And it's really a global effort. And you all have certainly figured out how to use the technology of the day, you know, to leverage your platform internationally and
working on it.
Yeah. Well, there's always more progress to be made, right?
Yeah. Well, especially in this virtual new world we're in.
Yeah. So talk about that. How has that been, and how have you been able to shift and adapt or renew your business model to be able to stay relevant in these times?
Well, our model has been so event specific in the sense that our corporate members meet at regular events throughout the year on different themes like design innovation or transformational leadership or shifting customer behavior, for example, like the one that's coming up in December 8th and 9th in the CMO Summit that we host. And our flagship conference, which was supposed to be in Long Beach, June 1st through the 4th, and then got pivoted to December. And then, of course, now is not happening, to a virtual setting. And we use a platform that we really like called Hopin. And we have hosted member meetings on Zoom, and we're looking at new platforms as well. And we create and curate an experience that's not the same. However, in the world that we're now in, we're forced to adapt to and create meaningful interactions and engagement for our sponsors, for our customers, and for our membership community to learn from each other and connect in an authentic way when a lot of people have screen fatigue. Yeah. And I'm sure you deal with this too. So it's the world we're in right now. Our community is craving to get back together in person and to be with each other. We do have a big announcement that we've made that June 7th through the 10th of next year, we will be planning so far to meet in person in San Diego at Paradise Point, but we can only have 600 or so live. The rest will have to be virtual. So it's going to be a virtual live hybrid.
Okay.
And a bit of both.
First I've heard of that.
Great. Well, it's nice that we can help make this announcement on your show. And we're excited to see how it goes, as any companies are right now. I think we have to take it moment by moment in the planning stages, and we also have a lot of sponsors who are already approaching us that are interested in working with us and leveraging the platform for some announcements they have that they want to make on our Yeah. So
I have to ask, and maybe it's too early to know, are you planning testing around that? Will there be testing of the 600 people? I'm just curious how you're sort of planning for that. Or are you hopeful that, you know, we're at a point by then where you don't need that? Or is the plan to have some sort of testing mechanism in place?
That's a great question. I have to say that's not my call, luckily. So stay tuned for our announcement on that one. What I would suggest is just signing up for the updates on our website on sustainablebrands.com. You go to Global Events tab and you'll see the whole list of events we have. I just hosted a webinar last week on diversity, equity, and inclusion, sponsored by EverFi, that you can see there. There's a lot of past webinars. We have one coming up tomorrow with Shell on renewable energy.
Yeah, and I'll be on there.
Looking forward to seeing you there. So there's great events there listed on the Global Events tab on our website.
And talk to me about Energate, because I do want to get to your website.
Oh, Integrate.
Integrate, because I love your website. I spend a lot of time on there. But you have an event coming up. I'm really looking forward to attending the virtual event. Tell me about Integrate and what that event's all about.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. It's pretty exciting. I went to this conference for my first time a year ago. It was called New Metrics at the time. And it's the new metrics of how we measure ESG progress and the ROI of ESG improvements, from carbon emission reduction to plastic waste diversion to cost savings, cost cutting.
Such a huge topic, because it feels like, to me, if I can interrupt for just a second, it feels like we're still kind of in the Wild West of all that. And the rules in some ways are still sort of being written. So it's a hugely important topic that you're talking about. And I'm really geeking out and excited to attend it. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but just cannot emphasize enough how important that is in our world, where we're trying to show people, you know, yes, you're going to save energy, you're going to save money, but putting a dollar value to setting and achieving ESG goals is oftentimes, you know, not as black and white.
You're right, David. I'm glad you said it. It is the holy grail. It's like that elusive measurement piece. Thank you for mentioning it. And your excitement is something that we share. And CFOs, if we can integrate the office of the CFO and the CSO, the Chief Sustainability Officer, and have them working together with this, of course, CEO, COO. So ESG becomes a part of daily operation decision-making. And it's not an auxiliary piece of the puzzle. And so what Integrate is this year, it's taking what we've done for 8 years through the New Metrics Conference. It was supposed to be at Fordham University this year in New York. It'll be virtual. You can visit it at theintegrateconference.com. And we have CFOs from Mars, Levi's, Walmart Chief Sustainability Officer, Beneficial State Bank, United Nations, Global Compact. There's a whole bunch, a great list here. Impact investors, investor relations, Office of the CFO. And we're presenting this year with SOCAP. Some of your listeners out there, you may know SOCAP. It's a big impact investing conference that happens every year, a network of people. So we're partnered with SOCAP this year.
Right.
And the last thing I'll say on this is that I'm just bringing it up here to get this right. It's the shift to a balanced stakeholder approach. That's what this is about, from the shareholder practice the last 50 years and the players driving it, to how the CFO looks at the overall professional services sector and the role of finance and investment operations in best practices for ESG. So that's the future of where this is going. So thank you, David. Anyone who's out there would like to attend, one thing I could offer your listeners is a complimentary pass. If I can give you that, if they write you and are interested for their CFO or CSO or highest equivalent, I'd be happy to extend that as a thank you.
I really appreciate that. So if anybody listening is interested in a complimentary pass to the show, shoot me an email, dsmart@biostarrenewables.com. I'll get you connected with David and we will make that happen. Thank you. I wasn't anticipating that, but that's a very generous offer. And hopefully we'll have some folks take you up on that. And you heard David mention some of the sponsors. These are serious companies that we're talking about. These are not, you know, exactly mom and pop shops. These are really big international players who are taking these goals and these metrics really, really seriously. And so with that, I kind of want to shift into your website, because one of the things that I love about the website is the ability to follow some of these big companies, Johnson & Johnson, and some of these, you know, mega companies that really are leading the way in the C&I space. You know, the big dogs really seem to be leading the way with this stuff. And so I think it's really cool how you're able to break it out by company, by topic, by sector. Talk to me a little bit about your website. You know, I think it's just sustainablebrands.com. Tell our listeners how to get there, and sort of about the framework of your site and how you've organized the topics.
Sure, thank you. And it's an interesting topic because it's in flux. It's changing right now. And we have had it organized a certain way. It'll stay this way for a little bit, but it's in motion. And that is to say that the topics that are most important to our community are sometimes shifting and adjusting, right? And
sure.
And we've seen a whole new set of issues that really matter that COVID and the pandemic have brought to the forefront, for example. The way that the site is currently set up is with different channels. So there's topic channels, and we have, for example, I'm just gonna share some of these: redefining sustainable seafood for the future, product, service, and design innovation, the next economy, supply chain. We have chemistry, materials, and packaging, marketing and communications, collaboration and business case. Business cases, of course, examples of driving ROI and ESG and how sustainability is core to market growth through innovation in these areas. And there's, if you type in any brand that's in our membership group, you can read all the topics that their keyword searches are tagged to, and as well as by issue area: packaging, plastics, regenerative agriculture. In the top right toolbar, just enter in any term or brand or company that you're interested in, and you can read more. And also, we have webinars that are available for free. We have regular signups as well for paid versions that we're launching called SB Pro for regular scheduled programming. And then we have, of course, opportunities for our members, our corporate members, and the summits as well, David. So there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, no, it's really fun. And I get email notifications. You can get on their website and set up notifications. I love the content and the different articles that come across my inbox. I reshare a lot of them, but also I kind of stack them up too. And Saturday morning, I like to go back and read through and learn about some of these new sustainable projects. And you have some amazing members in your community. We don't have time to talk about all of them, but I want to just take a minute and kind of allow you to kind of brag on some of your members here. You know, we really like to talk about renewing on this show, and I love what you said about the website and sort of evolving in that, you know, the topics that are most important change as current events and as time goes on. But we love to talk about that and talk about how companies are renewing or shifting to make themselves better and make them say, you know, make sure that they maintain maximum relevance in the marketplace. What are some examples of this that you've seen with your members or companies in your community that you think our listeners would enjoy hearing about?
Thank you, David. It's always fun to brag about our members because there's so many of them and there's so many stories. And frankly, I wish we could capture them all. And sometimes we don't even know. A few that I'll share are, we have competitors working in a pre-competitive collaborative environment through our Brands for Good movement. Competitors like Nestle and Pepsi, who are on stage together looking at addressing common challenges and how to do that in an authentic way that they both really care about. We have Procter & Gamble increasing their forest stewardship certified percentage of forestry products and how they're looking at their responsible stewardship in forestry in a whole new way. And HP, who's leading that with groups like FSC and the WWF as well. We have examples of companies protecting biodiversity and wildlife in sub-Saharan Africa. We have companies that are looking at their own supply chain innovation through digital printing, like HP Graphics, who's helping literally reduce companies' waste in their packaging by 30% just wow. by switching to digital printing on their packaging. There's wow. examples of circular design. We have regular workshops led by groups like IDEO that come in with our members, and our members show how they're redesigning their packaging to reduce waste at all times, turning their waste into energy like you do. And I'll say a couple different examples that I think can really stand out just generally. One is a shift to equity and inclusion being a focus and a centerpiece of the governance side of how brands look at their impact. And a lot of brands looking at plastic waste reduction and how important that is to them, and really stepping up and being leaders in that space. And how to measure that is through their supply chain improvements. And so we see specific cases of big announcements. We see partnerships happening amongst competitors. We have groups like I work closely with Eastman Chemical, who's helping to repurpose, break down materials and chemicals and repurpose them. And that really seems to be the future, is taking waste and turning it into regenerative products. There's a great company. There's so many doing these now, and I could list them, this is the future. We have a waste problem, and we don't have a technology problem. So we can take the waste in a number of industries, find ways of eventually cheaply repurposing some of that into usable products in the market. And our members are really focused on that, as well as how to shift consumer behavior change. Yeah. And that's the last piece I want to say is Brands for Good, sbbrandsforgood.com. You can see a whole group of companies there coming up with an innovation framework to help customers and employees shift their lifestyles towards sustainable behavior changes.
SB Brands for Good. Is that right?
That's right. sbbrandsforgood.com.
Yeah, no, that's really neat. And you mentioned supply chain innovation in there a few times. It seems like just a quick tidbit. So many of the companies that we're talking to were asking, what's driving this? Why is there a renewed focus on this? And we hear so many of them say, you know, it's someone at some point in our supply chain. So I think that's really interesting. And then, of course, on the waste to energy front, you're preaching to the choir there. You know, we think obviously that that's really, really important. And you mentioned competitors getting together and trying to solve common problems. We're actually seeing that in our business. I won't name any names right now, but in our organic fertilizer business, we have a partnership with a company who is taking our platform to some of their competitors, you know, to help them solve the same problem. So that's really neat to see and fascinating to see. And be a part of. And, you know, we're just one small corner of that world. You get to see a lot of really big deals, you know, being constructed, and the framework of really big deals being built out to help address these problems. So it's a really, really neat role that you're in. What excites you the most in the next 5 years, kind of as you look at the future and where you see things going? Is there anything in particular that you're most excited about?
Well, thanks for that question. One of the big areas I'm most excited about is working with groups like yours, David, who are innovating. You're breaking the mold of what most people know even is possible. And we can bring what you're doing to scalable application through multinational brand adoption. And if we can do that well, that's a major area. And I have partners that are taking plastics out of the ocean, like Oceanworks, and turning it into commercial products with PayPal and YKK Zippers, they just announced. We have groups that are switching to organic sources of their agricultural supply chain, who are thinking about their inks and their dyes and their prints, and in personalization and packaging to reduce waste through on-demand sources and 3D printing. The technology side is very exciting if we're open to cultural change, if we're open to listening to differences that, for example, leadership and sustainability doesn't always come from the top. It's not always hierarchical. So one of the things I'm very excited about is seeing adaptive leadership sources from groups who create leadership networks that can engage executive leaders at the right time and investors at the right time to drive solutions, because we see a market growth from those changes. We see greater revenue, we see greater market value, we see greater competitive advantage. And without exception, there are metrics to back this up. And the more that, what really excites me is the more that we see this becoming common knowledge in the C-suite of the way business is done and decisions are made. And the next 5 years is pivotal for that. And it's really important we meet our 2030 goals for carbon reduction emissions globally. We can do that through improvement of topsoil, biodiversity, cleaning up supply chains, energy, innovation and efficiency, and renewables. So there's a lot to be hopeful for. Tance, it's a long answer to your question, but I'm an optimist.
No, yeah, you took the words out of my mouth, because not to minimize how much work there is to be done, but following sustainable brands and sites like yours and companies like yours really, really highlight and give hope to the fact that we are on the right track. I love what you said. We don't have a technology problem. We have the technology to figure out how to solve these problems. And I really enjoy following your all's platform and kind of staying on the leading edge, you know, of who's doing what and who is really driving this change across the country and across the world. So it's all really fascinating stuff. I highly recommend to our viewers and listeners, if this has interested you at all, get on sustainablebrands.com. Make sure that's the right website. Thank you so much, David, for being on the show. We really appreciate and value your time. Before we sign off, please remind our listeners and viewers, how can they follow you online? How can they follow you on social? Either you personally or SB or both. And then we'll sign it off.
Well, find us on LinkedIn at Sustainable Brands. And as you said, sustainablebrands.com. Hey, we also have an Instagram as well. And
all right,
I'm on LinkedIn. David Hopkins is my full name. And be happy to connect with anyone who'd be interested if you have any questions. And my email is also available. It's dhopkins@sustainablebrands.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much, David, for the time today.
Absolutely. And another reminder, please, if you're interested in Integrate, the conference, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks, please either email me or email David, and he's offered a complimentary pass to the show. It's going to be really, really awesome. I'm looking forward to it. David, best for the rest of your week, and thanks again for doing this. It's great to be with you.
Thanks so much, David. Really appreciate it as well.
Take care.